Good to see you this morning. I'm going to get ready to pray for us. I know a lot of you have been in a group text this morning about Miss Caroline Bonifacio is not feeling well. She's at the hospital currently getting checked out. Her and Teresa usually sit right there, and Teresa always looks and smiles at me the whole time. I don't know if she's looking at me thinking, when's this idiot going to finish? Or if she's thinking, he's got something in his teeth. Or I wish I could have some sarcastic remark back at him. But we need to pray for Miss Caroline this morning. So as I begin to pray, I ask you to join me in intercession for her. So let's pray. Father, it's good to know that you're a caring God, you're a loving God, you're a God that really is indescribable. But Lord, even in those indescribable ways, you're a God who wants to be known by your people. And you desire intimacy with us that, God, I'm not really sure that we reciprocate in that same longing, that same desire. So Lord, I'm praying the first miracle of this morning is, God, give us that longing to be intimate, that longing to be close to you. And Lord, we do lift up Miss Caroline. I thank you, God, for her, her faithfulness, her smile, Lord, her warmth that she exudes with us. God, I thank you for her faithfulness in the kingdom of God. And no, Lord, I'm praying for her healing. Not partial, not sorta, not kinda, but complete. That she's able to go home today and rest. Lord, I would pray that if there needs to be revelation, medically speaking, to a doctor or staff, that would be given. Lord, I pray against confusion. Lord, I pray for clarity and revelation and wisdom for the medical people. Lord, I pray that as Teresa and Tina are there with Miss Caroline, that, Lord, they will be salt and light. Lord, I pray that that time they can feel the peace and the hand and the presence of God in that ER. And Lord, I would pray, God, even as I begin to move to the next thing, if there's some way that some of us need to continue to pray that we'd be obedient, Father, that we just lift this up before you. We lift this time up before you. And we place it all before you, and we pray in our Savior's name, Jesus. Amen. This morning we're going to continue in the book of Acts. We pick up the story of Peter and the apostles this morning, once again getting a little bit of trouble because they had been obedient to God. Prior to the scripture that we're getting ready to read that John's going to put up for us this morning, we see that the apostles had once again been encountering situations and opportunities to show and display the power of God so they could claim the good news of Jesus. They had been healing the sick. They had been casting out demonic entities. They had seen the power of God change people from the inside out as they present the good news. As a matter of fact, the scriptures preceding the story that I'm getting ready to read to us is the story where people were so full of God working in their life that they would literally try to bring people and place them on mats just so as Peter walked by, somehow, some supernatural way, the shadow of Peter would pass over them and somehow or another that God would do a miraculous work in them. Don't fully understand all that. Okay? Just know it was the presence and the power of God. But this time in these stories, that the power of God had become so well known that people were coming from a long ways away to bring people that needed a touch of God supernaturally. That sounds like me today. What about you? Do you really desire a touch of God supernaturally in your life in some form or some way? I do. I need the supernatural power of God because there's just situations I don't understand. There's things swirling that I don't get. So I need some clarity. I need some discernment. I need God's wisdom. So we see all these miracles happening. And once again, the religious people take notice and they realize, hey, something's going on that isn't something that we can control. We're not a part of, and we need to do something about it. So they called the apostles in, and we'll pick up the story now. In chapter 5 of Acts, we see the apostles are arrested, and then they're going to be freed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with them, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy. Man, isn't jealousy just a divider? Just divides. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison, basically so everybody would know, hey, we got these guys captive again. They think they can get away with this. We're going to show them who's boss. But during the night, a curious thing happened. An angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the sin of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they didn't find them in the prison, so they returned to report it. We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering, what would this come to? And someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain and the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Bunch of people pleasers, not God pleasers. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, and saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Point number one, John. The miraculous power of God is waiting to, John, break out in your life, in my life. We understand something in this story that is very common in the new church, in the early church, and that is God was doing things in their lives so His name could be honored, but so His power could be on display before the people. We see this in this story that the apostles are stuck in a jail because man thinks they can control them. Let me ask something. Have people said something to you in the past week or weeks that was intended to hurt you, was intended to see your demise, was intended to bring you down? Maybe you just heard a story on the news and it kind of crushed your spirit. And God is saying, I'm bigger than that. I want to break out of that. We see in this story that God's power wants to break out. This early church saw miracle after miracle after miracle, but the greatest miracle they saw over and over was this: life change. They saw people go from living a certain way to living another way that was fulfilling and was God-honoring. But this was like a way of life for them. Our testimony, our experiences with God, they should be an opportunity for God just to break out in our lives. There's nothing in the Bible, in God's Word, in Christians that I'm around that I believe are bearing the fruit of God that has anything to do with stagnation, with sitting around wondering if God's ever going to do something. They're willing to say, God, break out in my life, display who you are in and through me. When people are bringing people to streets on mats, just to lay them down, hoping somebody comes by, that has an expectation level. I'm asking you to consider something in your life today. You see the title of my little sermon, Choosing God, really a no-brainer? Okay? I'm asking you to consider something today. Are people seeking you out because they know there's something different about you that they desire to see become part of who they are? Are you seeing that choosing God and this power to break out, that is something that is not controllable by man? You see, the Sadducees thought, you know what, if I can just get these guys and get them under control, then I can be pleasing to man and not be worried about anything else. You see, the Sadducees, the religious people, were more focused on their personal gain than they were about God's name being honored. Well, the interesting part about that is their history as Israelites had been more worried about what they could get than honoring God's name. So I would ask you this. In the days ahead, are you more concerned about what you can get from God or what you're willing to give to God? Are you more concerned about how you're honoring God's name, however that might be in your life? Are you more concerned about convenience and comfort? I heard this is a true story someone told me this week. I found it kind of quirky. Maybe you won't. But this guy was telling me this story this week about a middle-aged man that had arthritis, and he was having trouble walking, He was overweight, and I guess he was struggling with some depression. So he went to somebody, and the guy said, "I tell you what I want you to do. You're single, you got arthritis, and you need to lose some weight, and you're struggling emotionally. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go get a dog." A dog, yeah. A dog. That's not a fill in the blank, Daniel. So this guy went to the rescue shelter, and he said, "I need a dog, but here's the kind of dog I need. I need a middle-aged, overweight, arthritic dog." He said, "I need a dog that's just like me." Because he wanted companionship in his supposed misery. Okay? But when they found a dog at the shelter, and they found a dog that was middle-aged, overweight, and arthritic. So the guy took the dog home, and as he got him home and some days went by, the dog was a little bit more active than the guy thought. So he had to begin to walk the dog. You know what happened? Miraculous thing happened. Both the dog and the man lost weight. They became a lot more active, and they became a lot more cheerful. I want you to understand something. Don't overthink this. Don't overthink the miraculous power of God is waiting to break out in some way that's supernatural that you can't describe only. Maybe it's you mustering a smile tomorrow when the world says everything has gone wrong. Maybe it's someone calling you up or texting you or sending you a message just to say, "Hey, I want you to know I'm just thinking and caring about you." But are you doing the same to other people? Because maybe it's God's miraculous power breaking out on your life when He's really wanting to use your life to break out on somebody else's. Maybe you're the one that needs to take the mat and place it before somebody else to get prayer. Maybe you're the person that God's trying to use as that conduit. Do you realize something in the Bible? That God never changes. His message never changes, but the way He does things changes all the time, but He's always active. So, our relationship with Him somehow, some way, should reflect that we're a part of a body of Christ, or have a relationship with a living, breathing God that is active. That He is the God of the living. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and it uses the tense, "I am." So that means He's the God of "I am Dane." He is active. Think about your own relationship with Him as we go to point number two. Is the miraculous power of God going in and out and through you? Speak to others who might appear to be a lost cause. Speak truth consistently. This is very important for us, okay? Because I guarantee you something right now, this morning, if I ask you to show your hands of people in your life that, honest to goodness, you think they're hopeless. We would all probably go, "Yeah, I know a couple of them. I know a few of them." And the funny thing is, there might be people that are thinking of you. But anyway, that's another story for another time. All right. But we see something I think is important to this story, guys. When the apostles are freed, or when they're freed from the jail and they walk out, and the Sadducees basically say, "You guys, we told you to shut up, sit down, and go away." The apostles don't say to them anything sarcastic. They don't make fun of them. They don't try to do it in their own strength or their own wisdom or their own understanding. What did they do to a group of people that had seen Jesus, who had seen the miracles, who had seen this proclaimed over and over and over again? They spoke the truth one more time. And what did they say to the Sadducees? "I remind you, gentlemen, that you're the one that killed Jesus. You hung Him on a tree." Which, by the way, that little phrase, I picked that version intentionally. When they told the Sadducees "hung on a tree," that's an Old Testament reference to a curse. So the Sadducees, you know what that would have been? That would have been like, "Ooh, that hit me where it hurt. I understand what you're trying to tell me. That we have something to do with this curse." Okay, so they're proclaiming the good news to people who appeared to be hopeless. So I want you to find encouragement today, and I want you to find it as a challenge. Those people that you've been praying for, that you've been witnessing to, ask God to refresh you in that desire, that calling, that clarity that He still hasn't given up. Because if they're still living and breathing today, then that means He's given them one more day to accept the good news of Jesus Christ. So speak the truth consistently. Allow, number one, to become apparent in your life. What happens tomorrow? You go back into work. he or she is still there working. The person that you think might be Satan in the flesh, okay? The person that really might be oppressed demonically, really might be, and your first thought is, I was hoping that he or she may no longer be here, but he or she is here, but you looked at it with fresh spiritual eye. And you said, God, take me to that place that says, I'm broken because they're broken for you. They're broken. They need wholeness in their life. Let God refresh your thoughts, your heart, and your love for those who seem hopeless. Because I know that there's a time and a place where all of us struggle with, I have prayed and I have prayed and I have prayed. God, I don't know what else to do. Then ask Him. Do you lay them down for a while? That's okay. God may say, hey, take a break. We'll pick that back up later. Or is it, hey, have you ever thought about letting me show you some things that you don't know about them that you need to pray that their hearts have been hurt? There's some wounds there that you need to be praying against that God would heal? Speak the truth consistently to others who might appear to be a lost cause. Because you know something about all these religious people that we just read about? Okay? We really don't know how it turned out for them. When we see them in Acts, we assume that they never accepted the good news of Christ. We don't know that to be true, though. We do not know that to be true. We don't know that sometime in history, the next day, the weeks, the months to follow, that maybe one of those guys became the catalyst to see change with another group of guys. We don't know. But the apostles were faithful to speak the truth consistently, not in their own strength, but through the miraculous power of God waiting on them. You know, speaking the truth consistently to others who might appear to be a lost cause. I was reading this week about a gentleman. You guys may have seen, you may remember this. In 2007, there was a gentleman, he was a professor at a college in Pittsburgh. His name was Randy Pausch, P-A-U-S-C-H. And he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Kind of a young guy, he had small children. And when they gave him the diagnosis, they said, you got 6 to 8 months of good life to live. He's got little kids and he's like, what am I going to do? Now, I have no doubt at all, he had the emotional roller coaster. He's a father, a husband, he's a teacher, his students loved him. I have no doubt. But here's what he did. He decided, I'm going to make my time count. And so here's what he did. He sat down and he began to write letters to his children of things that he would not be around to teach them, but when they got older, they could open the letters. He sat down and he made videos so his children and his wife could hear him say over and over, I love you. I care about you. And here's some things you need to know. And he went to his students and he started to lecture them on life. And he wrote a book about it. But the highlights of the book is simply this. What was his takeaways? It was simply this. And there some of them are so simple, it's crazy. Here's one of them. Ready? Spend time with people over 70 and under the age of 6 as much as you can. Because you learn and you teach. You know what, Daniel? What you said is our society believes that. This is going on the internet, isn't it, John? That lie. Daniel said, too old. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people in this congregation that has a lot to offer. Don't ever believe the lie, you don't have it to offer. And me and us younger, don't ever believe they don't have to offer. Because I know right now, if I could go back, and spend 5 minutes with my father-in-law, he knew more crap about stuff than I'll ever know. My dad knows more about stuff than I don't even know that question to ask. Mr. Dale, he's not here this morning. He knows more about stuff and more stories about stuff than we'll ever know. So that's a lot. You know, Daniel, I thank you for pointing that out. That wasn't even on my heart. So are you going to learn and teach? Because that's speaking truth to others. Another one he said was this. Every day, get up, dress up, and show up. You know what that tells me? Life's going to happen whether or not you participate. So you get a choice to participate. Okay? Another one was, put God first in everything. And another one was this. Life's too short to linger in the self-pity pool of hate and unforgiveness. You can speak truth consistently when you realize the truth of God is powerful and impactful and life-changing. Number three, God will not and cannot compromise. And that should be the same for us. I want to ask you a couple questions about that this morning. Is your standard too low? Is your expectation of yourself according to the world's standard or God's standard? Have we rationalized our compromises? Would you say words tomorrow, wherever you go, that you wouldn't say here this morning? Would you tell a joke tomorrow that you wouldn't tell here this morning? Would you have thoughts and an attitude tomorrow that you wouldn't really want to have on display or people to know this morning? Are our standards much more like the world's standards or much more like God's standard? You know God's standard is high, but see point number one? It takes the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit working in us to rise to the standard of God. And He's doing the work, and we're allowing Him to use us. You see, the early church was so in love with Jesus that they could hear the voices of the world, but they wouldn't listen to the voices of the world. You know, on Friday, hey, Don, by the way, on Friday, you got to carry the torch. My streak of not going to the St. Patrick's Day parade got destroyed on Friday, so you're carrying the torch, buddy. Okay? Kathy tricked me, a.k.a. told me that not only did I go from seeing the parade, that I had to participate in the parade. And I looked at her and I said, that God, He's got a sense of humor. Because honest to goodness, to say I didn't have a desire to be there or initially be there was ridiculously low. Okay, but as I was riding through there, and Caleb and Stuart Barnes was with us, and we were having a good time laughing about some things, I thought about something. Thought about the people, the masses. And I thought about something that here I go, they're waving, I'm fake waving, I'm fake smiling. Okay. Until I saw the TV camera. Then I thought, you know, it was a chance to embarrass Kathy. So I started waving weird ways and doing silly things. And anyway, you can ask her about it. But I thought about this. Is that a lot like us, the church? Life's going by. We're waving, we're smiling, we're looking like we're having a good time. But in essence, we're missing all that God has for us. And there I go on my little float. Down through there, it was a beautiful day. God was good to me. He said, Dane, look at the day I gave you. You're in a covered float. You got all kinds of food and snacks. It was all right. It was all right. But I think so often, guys, we wake up on the next day, whatever the next day is. And so often I think our attitudes can be such as, if I can just make it one more day. When God says, I want you to not see this day as a day to get through, but I want you to see this as a day that's given to you as a privilege. And whatever happens, I'm with you. And whatever happens, I'm sovereign over it. Because God's not going to compromise. So if we want to see one and two, let's don't compromise. Let's ask God to change our language. Let's ask God to change our thoughts. Let's ask God to change our attitude. Let's ask God to change the way that we actually exist on this planet, to say, we're not going to give lip service to being the salt and the light. We are going to be the salt and the light. We're going to look at people eyeball to eyeball, and we're going to realize that they're a human being and that God created them and Jesus died for them. And we're going to ask God if we can have an impact on their life somehow, some way, wherever that might be. If it's just being nice, if it's just smiling. You know how many people every single day would love to have a smile from somebody that they don't know? A whole bunch. A whole bunch. Because most of the people will wake up tomorrow morning that you're probably going to be around, and they're probably going to have some kind of thought of something like this. I don't know what the day holds, but I hope just to get through it. So why not allow your thoughts to be different than that? God will not compromise, and we should not either. Fulfillment is a long-term benefit to being obedient to Christ. And I close with this thought one more time. the apostles' response to the Sanhedrin is not a defense, nor is it a plea for mercy. It is a simple explanation of action. Now, why do I tell you that? Our lives, when not compromised, is a simple explanation of our action. We believe so strongly in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we want it to infect our culture. Something I pray for myself and for my family every single day, it's as simple as this. Somebody is going to have a greater influence on somebody else, and I want to be the one exerting the greater influence on the somebody. I'm not going to tell you it's always perfect, and I'm not going to tell you it's always easy. Matter of fact, on the way back from the parade, somebody cut me off in traffic, and I was so mad that Kathy looks at me and says, "Don't forget the boys are with us." And you know the irony? Back to my over 70, under 6 thing. I caught up to them. It was two ladies that were of a different generation. And I thought to myself, there was my next thought. It's okay. It's all right. It's a first world problem. God, don't let it ruin the day. So my challenge for you as we get ready to close is this. Don't allow your standards to ruin the day for you. Allow the power of God to set a standard and then help you see and seize that standard. And let that break out in your life, beginning right here till it goes right here till it goes right here. Let's pray. In just a moment, I know Gary's working his way up here. You had your cards and your envelope. Brother Rick mentioned those earlier. Just take a moment or two just to fill those out. We thank you so. I thank you and I thank God for you sharing your hearts with us on being able to pray with those cards. So just begin to write down prayer requests and praises and things that are heavy on your heart today. Maybe it's people. We'll pray with you on that. We're just going to take a moment right now as I begin to pray. And Brother Gary will begin to play for us. And then Rick and Brother Dusty will come on up front. We'll pray. The altar will be open. So let's just be quiet for just a moment. Father, there's lots of things that just swirl on us today. As soon as I began to pray that, the very first word that came to mind was financial. Lord, I know a lot of us carry that burden. Carry that, how are we going to make it one more day, one more week, one more month? God, I pray that we would help do what your word says, and that is cast our burdens upon you. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to be good stewards of our blessings too. Father, this time, as we, time of ministry, as we intercede, give us guidance, Father. Show us how to pray. The altar will be open. Brother Dusty and Brother Rick will be down here to pray with us. You can go ahead and be bringing your cards and your envelopes if you'd like to. So, Lord, we just give you this time. May you be honored. This morning as we get ready to leave, there'll always be someone around to pray with you about something. But I'd encourage you this week when something comes upon your heart or your mind that's just heavy, or something that's like a praise and it's just an awesome thing and you're thinking, wow, that is really cool what God did. Either or, don't sit on. Text somebody, call somebody, send somebody an email, or maybe just show up in person somewhere. Okay? Because you know what? Don't we all need encouragement throughout the week? All right. So think about something. A story you might think is silly and unimportant might be the breakthrough that somebody else has with their faith because you're willing to share a story you think isn't that big of a deal. Okay? So I'm going to pray for us, and we'll be finished for today. Father, all glory and honor to you. Lord, thank you for loving us. And just, you know, God, thank you that in the middle of the swirl, that peace that passes all understanding is very available. And Lord, I would pray as we leave here today that we would go in the knowledge and the surety that there's a God who's going with us and that loves us and cares about us and desires to use us in ways that we cannot imagine. Now, Lord, the world may not think much of that, but you sure do. And Lord, I would pray that we would be men and women of God that will not compromise. In Jesus' name, amen.